Let's read verses 3 and 4 together,
please.
Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We're going to see seven things about the soldier. In English, they're all beginning with S. In Basso, I don't know. I'm going to go over them, and then we'll go look at them individually. The first, the soldier's struggles. Second, the soldier's success. Third, the soldier's superior. Fourth, the soldier's stance. Fifth one, the soldier's seclusion. That means hiding out, okay. Seclusion. Sixth one, the soldier's strategy.
All right. And
the seventh one, the soldier's selection.
All right.
First, the soldier's struggles. Paul says, thou therefore endure hardness. In Romans 8:18, it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall see and be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians 11, 22 and following, Paul gives all of his struggles and persecutions. He tells how many times he was stoned. Were you ever stoned yet? No. He tells how many times he was beaten with a whip. Maybe some of you have been beaten. I don't know. I have not yet been beaten with whips. He tells how many times he's been put in prison for Christ. Have you yet been put in prison for Christ? Some of these things may happen to us in our lifetime. We must be prepared. If communism takes over your country, you will have persecutions great. You will have death and slaughter. You will have terror and imprisonment. You will have torture. May it not come to Liberia, as it has to many African nations and many other countries all over the world. May it not come to the United States of America. But if it does come, as a soldier for Christ, we must endure hardness. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, 22 and following, tells in the first century how many things he suffered for Christ, so that we will understand that someone else has gone through what we may have to go through. In English, we have an expression, softies and sissies. I don't know whether you understand softies. And sissies.
Okay. Therefore, God said, "Oh, this blah blah, that blah blah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Why you wouldn't need any money? You need something better."
Okay. Soldiering for the Lord Jesus Christ is not for softies and sissies. There is a ruggedness, a strength needed for Christian soldiers. That word, endure hardness, is an interesting word. Kakopatheson. It's from kakopatheo. Two words, kaka, which is evil. Hardships. Trouble. Second word, patheo. Means to suffer. Together, it means to suffer hardships. Endure hardness. It means to be vexed. Pastor Joa knows that word vexed. Sometimes he says, "I'm very vexed with you." Oh, not with me. But with someone else. He says to his people that you may voluntarily do this. I won't force you to do it. You must do it willingly. But if you don't do it, I'll be vexed with you. And I didn't know he knew that word vexed. Very good word. This endure hardness means to be vexed. To be troubled. And to show endurance in trials. So the soldier has struggles. That's number one. Now notice the second thing about the soldier. In verse 3, the soldier's success. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." The only kind of soldiers the Lord Jesus is looking for are good ones. We must be successful soldiers for Christ. There are many bad soldiers today. And yet, successful soldiering means we're good soldiers. The word good is kalos. That word good means beautiful. Of good quality or good disposition. It may mean useful or rich. It means profitable and excellent. It means choice and select. Means delightful. Honorable or distinguished. Possessing moral excellence. Worthy and upright. It means virtuous and dutiful. You see, that word good means many different things in different areas. The Lord Jesus is looking for good soldiers. The third thing about the soldier in verse 3, the soldier's superior. A superior is someone over him. Superior is someone he answers to. Every soldier must have a superior. When the superiors are killed in battle, many soldiers don't know what to do. They depend upon their superiors to help them, to assist them. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He is the Christian soldier's superior. He is our leader. Part of the soldier's regimentation involves reporting to his commanding officer. The Lord Jesus Christ is that commanding officer. He is our superior. There's no middleman or no middlewoman here. We report directly to him. As pastors and leaders, we're responsible directly to him. At the judgment seat of Christ, when Christians will be judged, the Lord Jesus Christ will expect us. To give a report of what we've done for him. We will have to answer to him. We'll answer him directly. And if we have been building down here below on him and on his foundation with hay and wood and stubble, instead of building on gold and silver and precious stone, we will suffer loss. We'll be saved, yet so is by fire. The fire is going to try every one of those works. Hay, wood, and stubble will be burned up in smoke. Only the gold, silver, and precious stones will stay and abide. So we must report to the Lord Jesus. In Romans 5 and verse 2, it says we have access into this grace. Wherein we stand. We have direct access with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. At all times, we can go into the presence of our superior. At any time of need, we can call upon him. He's not like the librarians with office hours limited. He's not like the Nigerian Airlines closed many days. You go to the door, you knock, nobody there. He's not even like the Lamco people. They're closed today. That's good. I'm glad they have vacations. But the Lord Jesus takes no vacations. Right? 60 minutes every hour, he is there. 24 hours every day, he's there. 7 days a week, he's there. 31 days a month, he's there. 365 and a fourth days of the year, he's there. For all time and eternity, He is there. And if we have something to talk to Him about, take it to the Lord in prayer. And He's there. Praise God for that. The fourth thing about the Christian soldier, in verse 4, is the soldier's stance. That word stance, do you understand what that word means? That's how he's aiming or pointing or directing himself. It means kind of like how he's standing, how he's standing. The stance of a boxer is like this.
Okay?
The stance of a football player may be like this. The stance of a soldier is important. What does a soldier do? Notice. Thou therefore endure hardness. That's the soldier's struggle. As a good soldier. That's a soldier's success. Of Jesus Christ. That's the soldier's superior. In verse 4, the soldier's stance. No man that warreth. The stance of the soldier is that he is warring. He's at war. He's got a battle on his hands. He's got to face that battle. We as believers in Christ and leaders in Christ also have a strong battle. Satan is a strong opponent. The soldier doesn't push a pencil behind a desk. The soldier doesn't pound a typewriter. The soldier doesn't run a computer. The soldier warreth. He's on the front lines, fighting. He's engaged in battle. Battles between God and Satan. The battle is between Christ and Antichrist. The battle is between the Spirit of God and the Spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. The battle has not yet been won. We still need to war. The stance of the Christian soldier is to war. You understand I'm not talking about physical war. This is spiritual warfare. They'll close us down if we talk about revolution and war. No.
Revolution basically.
Notice the word for the one that wars. Notice the word for war.
Okay?
Strateromenos. Strateromenos. This is a present participle. And in the Greek, that means a continuous action. It's he who continues to war and fight in battle. It means to perform military duty spiritually. And that's our stance. In our country, and I suppose in your country, we have many pastors and Christian soldiers that do not want a war. They're pacifists. They want to have peace with everybody. Even peace with the devil. It's too hard for them to fight. They don't want to defend the Bible. They don't care if Christ is blasphemed. They don't take issue with the modernists and apostates. They don't war with the new evangelicals and compromisers. But they war with the fundamentalists that attack us. It's a strange thing. They have love for everyone else except us. There's a radio speaker in our country named Charles Swindoll. Maybe you've heard him. Excellent speaker. Talks a lot about the Christian psychology and things. Huge radio audience. He went to Dallas Seminary, as I did. And many times he tells a story about me without naming me. He tells about my first church when I got out of the military service. I was in the United States Navy as a chaplain for 5 years on active duty. I served with the U.S. Marines for 2 years. And with the Military Sea Transportation Service. And with the U.S. Navy Air Force for 2 years. So I know what military life is all about. I know what it means to be a soldier. And to march. And to carry a pack. When I got out of the service, I took a church in New England in the United States. And the war began when I became pastor. We had a couple of church bosses. They wanted to lead instead of the pastor leading. All the other pastors, they'd run off. But the people gave me a unanimous call to be their pastor. So when these two men came, they were related, brothers-in-law, and told me I perhaps should leave. I said, let's call a church business meeting. The congregation called me as their pastor. If the congregation wants me to go, I will go. So we had the meeting. They voted to keep this pastor. So I stayed. 20 of them went. We had great peace. Then they returned. We had great war. Finally, finally our people said, we will leave this place.
Amen.
Amen.
But I can't, you know, I'm going out of where I ain't going, I'm going to be out of here.
We will start a new church. Founded on the Word of God. 109 people left. And we founded a new church that's still standing today. That was 1961. And now 1986. Now, Chuck Swindoll, the speaker, tells false stories about this preacher in this church. He doesn't name him, but he's talking about me. He was a pastor a few towns over from me then. And he makes me out to be a very bad man. My sons listened to him. They said, Dad, Chuck Swindoll never talks anything about against anybody. He's always positive, positive, positive. Peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. Why does he be against you, Dad? See, that's the exception, isn't it? That's the exception. I'll never be able to understand all of this. But my son was close enough to pick that up. And I appreciate that. We had a riot in that church one day. A riot, a big struggle, uprising.
Okay.
We had to call the police. I had the tape recorder on the whole time. You know what I was preaching on the day of the riot? Christ and the gift of peace. I have that tape today. My wife says it's a pretty good sermon. And after I said amen, then the riot began. It's all on tape. The men went to the organ, pulled the hands of the girl off the organ. She put her hands back on the organ. They went down and pulled out the plug. Then I said to my wife, go to the piano. She went to the piano. The man tried to put the wood down on her hands. But her father was in the service that day. He was visiting us. And my father-in-law went to the piano. And he took his elbows like this. And pushed that Sunday school superintendent away. Because he was the one trying to push my wife's hands down. That would have broken her hands. So this was the riot in our church. So we must be soldiers. And those people did not realize that they had called a pastor who was a soldier for Christ. If I had been wrong, I would have admitted that wrong. But when I do what God tells me to do, I must stand my ground. Do you know what happened to that big church? Almost closed its doors. It's a huge building. It now is just a small mission. Maybe 10 or 12 or 15 people attend. One of these two men has died. The other man is still running things. He's still receiving the coupons from his stocks and dividends. But the people just don't come anymore to that church. Now, were we right or were we wrong to leave that place? Notice the fifth thing. We only have about four more minutes. Now, what time we close? 10:45. Okay, four more. Okay. Notice the fifth thing, the soldier's seclusion. Notice in verse 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. Now notice the soldier's seclusion. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life.
Okay, right.
The soldier is in seclusion from this world. Seclusion means he's closed off. When I was with the Marines, we were sent to Okinawa for 1 year without any family. Without any family. My wife and four children could not come. That's difficult duty. That's seclusion. And this is what soldiers do. While we were there in Okinawa, we went to the Philippine Islands aboard ship. We don't go down to the store anytime we please. We're in the field, in our tents. And the Christian soldier sometimes is in seclusion. We're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. We are not in the limelight where everybody sees us. We're in our foxholes. You understand foxholes? In a hole dug down so no bullets can get us. We work into the night. And we have 24-hour duty. We're on call. And the Christian soul must, the soldier must defend his master at all costs. Many times battling all alone. All alone. Battling. But the Lord is with us. And we're not alone. The Lord Jesus promised, lo, I am with you always. even to the end of the world. And that includes Liberia, West Africa. Amen. Turn it back over to Pastor Joy. We'll continue. Lord willing.
All right, Pastor Joy.